Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. As you may know by now, I have been running for Public Advocate to ban vaccines 2013, and while I was not elected, which is, of course, no surprise, I asked people to write in ban vaccines instead of my name. So if ban vaccines won, then I did win. However, the year's not over yet. So we have a lot of actions to take, and I'm about to pick up a gentleman who's been kind enough to have me on his program on Public Access TV. 30 Frames is the name of the show, and his name is Nat Wood. I am going to have pick him up right away. Hello, Nat Wood.
Hi, Sally. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just terrific. I thank you very much for coming on my show and for having me on your show as well to alert people to the dangers of vaccines. However, what would you say is the theme of your show?
Well, my show is a political show and a community show and a cultural show. It's basically a people show. And we cover a host of issues. Anywhere from issues like vaccines that you're talking about to the issue of Haiti, which is a very overlooked issue, and a lot of community stuff, issues of police, community relations, issues of incarceration and police state type things, as well as music, art, and all the other stuff that goes into making community. So it's a community show.
Right. Okay. And you ever? I know that you were kind enough to cover a group of people running for public office for the Green Party. And has that already aired, or will that be? I'm assuming it's aired since the election.
Yeah, we aired that show before the elections, and we've aired it a couple of times subsequent to the elections. I was very, very surprised and encouraged by the fact that the Green Party is so intelligent and up on the issues. They're just extraordinary people running. I think that they should get a lot more coverage than they do. They're certainly up on the issues, and they certainly have a truly intelligent approach to politics and political office. So I was very, very encouraged by my interview with the Green Party.
Well, I know Colia Clark, who was kind enough to introduce me to you, she ran for senator of New York State for the Green Party.
Colia is exceptional. Colia is, I call Colia Google in a pantsuit. Colia is just, she's on some other level that I aspire to, but will never reach. But it's good that my reach exceeds my grasp. But Coley is something really, really extraordinary.
Well, she's a very generous spirit, and I really appreciate that about her. However, of all the guests that you've interviewed, which guests did you kind of leave reeling from the information that was imparted?
Oh, I could not pick one guest. I have been very, very fortunate to have a range of extraordinary guests, anywhere from Dequee Sadike, who's Sekou Odinga's wife and is prominent in the issue of political prisoners. We've had Ralph Pointer on the show. I think one of the guest that we had on the show that has gotten the most hits on YouTube, if that's any indicator, is obviously Senator Moise St. Charles. Moise St. Cyr, who is the senator from, Senator Moise, how's that? My French is not good, and I get a couple of names confused because he was on with the Labor Secretary, the Finolet, But he is certainly extraordinary, and he has had massive hits on YouTube. And I had a chance to go with him and Coley to the UN and find out what the UN plans to do about the issue of Haiti, as well as learn a lot of things about Haiti. So, Moise, Senator Moise.
Well, in terms of Haiti, when I was at UNICEF, I was giving them, I gave the director of International UNICEF a book on polio called Dissolving Illusions so that he would stop vaccinating children. And there I ran into a woman who ran the vaccination campaign in Haiti. And quite frankly, they gave the kids the cholera vaccine. This was not even one of the ones that was listed that she was in charge of giving, and that was the measles, rubella, tetanus, pertussis, and diphtheria. And, you know, what these children need is clean water and food and housing, and what they're getting is vaccines.
Yeah, I don't see what a vaccine would do for cholera. As you said, cholera is drinking water, basically feces in proximity of the water that people drink. And there's a lot of things that they are quote-unquote giving to Haiti and doing for Haiti that has no bearing on helping the people of Haiti. I don't see what the Clinton initiative will do for Haiti. I don't see what making Donna Karen clothes will do for Haiti, when Haiti's problems are infrastructure and education and electricity and clean water and housing. I don't see how making sweaters is going to help Haiti. It's amazing to me that an island that is surrounded by water has no electricity and no clean water when it's an education problem and a question of producing hydroelectric power so that they can run the machines in Haiti. I don't see how piecemeal work going to other countries, basically paying them sub-minimum wages to produce clothing for people who are going to pay a fortune and kill each other around Christmas time to get these sweaters is going to help Haiti when they have an infrastructure that is completely falling apart. They have no houses. They have no roads. They have one of the most extraordinary workforces in the history of mankind, and they are not working on their own stuff. They're working on stuff that will never, ever help them. And just to put some handle on the cholera issue, Haiti has more cases of cholera than all of the rest of the world combined. So I don't know what a vaccine is going to do when
it's
they have
cholera. It's going to give
yeah,
them
I don't,
cholera.
Yeah, it's just silly. To even say the words cholera vaccine is silly when you're speaking of Haiti specifically. Haiti needs water. Haiti needs, like you said, Haiti needs their workers working on their infrastructure. Haiti needs an education system. Haiti needs to put their own people to work at a fair price. Haiti does not need to be pimped and exploited by every major corporation in the world. Haiti does not need to be dogged out. Haiti does not need the UN ramming tanks up their butts every 5 minutes. Haiti needs to be able to work on and produce in their own country for their own people so that they can actually become a legitimate country. So I don't know about vaccines. That's stupid.
I know two people. One of them started an orphanage the day after the tsunami. Her name is Elaine Browser. You know, I'm not completely sure, but I can look it up. And definitely you want to interview this woman because she started an orphanage in Haiti, and she went with her daughter the day after the tsunami. They had to go to another country and take a boat from there, and they got there and they started an orphanage. Is this astonishing? And not only that, a neighbor of mine goes there frequently. She works with an orphanage there through her church. So these are people you might be interested to have a show about what's happening to the orphans in Haiti.
Well, I would certainly love to speak to her. You can speak to her, and possibly she could send me some information so that I can really become abreast of who she is and what she does. And
it sounds like a very interesting thing to
explore.
Yes, it's Elaine Brower, B-R-O-W-E-R. I just didn't want to misstate her name. And the other lady is Michelle Rapkin. So Elaine Brower and Michelle Rapkin. But Elaine has done a lot of fundraising with musical concerts to raise money for the orphanage in Haiti. And she is a major activist. I know you would be fascinated to speak with her. Okay, so now some other issues that you have made it a point to address on your show, what would they be?
Oh, certainly the issue of the police state that has become part and parcel to the United States of America. Issues like stop and frisk. Not even just stop and frisk. Stop and frisk is just another means for mass incarceration of black and brown people. Millions and millions of people are incarcerated in the United States. Many of them are incarcerated for little ticky-tack crimes like small amounts of marijuana. There's millions of black and brown people in the United States of America serving life in prison on the installment plan. These are for nonviolent crimes, a lot of which are drug crimes, not even like major drug crimes, certainly not violent crimes. The kinds of things that people like Rush Limbaugh and the politician from Florida, Ray Dalio, they get a slap on the wrist and they apologize to the world and go back to the world. And young black and brown people who have the color issue and the issue of not being represented in court accurately, as well as just a system that that sees them as a cash cow, a global cash cow, destroys their lives completely over little or nothing.
I agree with you completely. That is so important. I was thinking, if you want the truth, a lot of people go to court and they don't have anyone to go with them to stand up for them, literally, to rise and stand as somebody who endorses them as a human being, who will be accountable, who will, if the court requires that they be monitored as a fellow caring New Yorker would do that. I think we need to start a program of people who will stand for these people in court, who will rise and say, I am here to say that I will take responsibility, I think people need to start standing to take responsibility for one another so that they protect these children and keep them out of, and I always say children, it's not just children, but I'm always concentrated on children, but to protect their fellow citizens from incarceration and to let the court know we are here for this person. What do you think about that? Would you like to start something like that with me?
Sure, but I think the problem is just a total disdain for black and brown people that is permeated in every aspect of America. It's not just stop and frisk; it's shop and frisk. I mean, when you look at issues like Romali Graham. Where police officers in the Bronx, uniformed officers in the Bronx, kicked this door in from both sides, went upstairs, and literally killed him in front of his, and I wanted to use the word murder, but that's a legal term, so I'll refrain from that. But certainly they killed him in front of his six-year-old brother and his grandmother for what they said was flushing marijuana down the toilet, possibly. They had no search warrant. They did not chase him in his house. He walked into his house. They pursued. This is all on the videotape. And they killed a kid, a teenage boy, in front of his grandmother and his six-year-old child for basically crap. And I wish this was some sort of anomaly or an aberration, but it's not. Too many children have been met with violent force, often deadly force, for little or nothing. It is a total disdain for black and brown people. When you go into a place like Macy's or Barney's and you spend thousands of dollars to be accosted in the street, after you've used your credit card, this is just a total disdain for your validation as a citizen of this country. And this has to be addressed. Whatever mad king is in charge of this has to be brought to bear, just brought to heel. This has gone on too long. It is out of control, and we need a complete expunging of the pollutants in this very system. This system has gone, well, has always been crazy, but now it's just mad, you know, and there's just too many issues that have to be addressed. But the basic issue is that this society has become so paternalistic, so infringing upon the rights and the privileges and the privacy of every single citizen all the time, that it is no longer Big Brother. It is some sort of Gestapo machine, some sort of alien force that is dominating the people of the United States and really has a pecking order in which they can feed off of people in some sort of ascendant order. So it's just going completely mad.
Well, I'm really upset with what you're telling me, and I know that I've been reading about these issues. I'm also concerned with the length of prison terms that people are serving for petty crime. So is that also being targeted? Are certain groups being targeted for extended terms?
We call it life on installment. We have young people. There was just a case of a young man who was not even charged with a crime, who spent years in jail as some sort of trial prisoner. It's just, as I said, it's a total disdain, a total disregard. And now disregard for citizen and other human beings have become a means of gaining political power. If you look at some of the issues and some of the ways they talk about women, about homosexuals, about immigrants, they use this as a platform. They use hate and intolerance as a platform by which to gain political power. So things that you used to think and do in the dark is not only in the light of day, it is a strategy for success.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that is very, very powerful what you just said, Nat. What do you see? I've only come up with one solution in terms of how to possibly prevent people from being incarcerated. How do we prevent them from being killed? So what we have to do, I guess, is take a spotlight on those who would brag about such issues and say this person is ineligible for office because of claiming to support the wrong agenda. And if you're coming out and saying it, it should be used against them.
I think that they have ultimately misinterpreted their position so bad that it is literally becoming an autoimmune disease. In point of fact, by targeting everyone all the time, by targeting every single group, by targeting immigrants, by targeting women, by targeting minorities, so-called minorities, by targeting immigrants, by targeting all of these groups all the time, by attacking people's very basic civil and human rights, by spying on every single solitary person all the time, that it is having a unifying effect on the people of the United States specifically and the people of the world in general. They control everybody's money. They control everybody's health care. They control everybody's ability to function and feed their families. And it is starting to backfire in the sense that where people were more concerned about their own personal issues, now those personal issues are all coming together in a platform that brings people together. So I think in a lot of sense, their strategy has worked in the short term, but in the long term, ultimately, it's going to destroy them. It's going to destroy them. You know, they need to back off of somebody. They need to, like, pretend to like somebody.
So true. Well, they are leveling the playing field, as I described to you. Yes, sure, they're killing kids in Africa with the vaccines, but now they're killing kids in Princeton with the vaccines. If this
right.
isn't the ultimate wake-up call, I don't know what is. And I, as I say, every time they do something so outrageous, so despicable, in a way I say, you know, this is a good thing because it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. So it's not a good thing, obviously, but if that's what it takes to push it over the top, like in Syria when they sprayed the sarin gas. And I've been talking to people about chemtrails for years. And now I say to them, they could change the mix tomorrow to sarin gas. Do you get it now? This is the slow kill. But there's a way they can take all those planes and make it the fast kill.
And not too long ago, one of the things that caused the revamping of the foster care system, and certainly in New York, or at least a renaming and the pretense of a revamping of the foster care system, was the occurrence of what was referred to as the guinea pig kids, where they mandated kids who were in foster care, predominantly in Catholic and Jewish charities, because they were getting massive sums of money, and because the health and hospital associations was getting massive amounts of money, and the government was getting massive amounts of money from the major pharmaceuticals like Glaxo Smith Kline to test toxic AIDS drugs and psychotropic drugs on black and brown kids, predominantly, you know, but certainly kids in foster care whose mothers were either on welfare or whose parents had some issue with drugs and whatnot. And if those parents refused, they would just charge the parents with being unfit in absentia and doing it anyway. So you had this case of kids just like dying from these drugs. For decades, literally from the 1980s to the year 2000 and something, the reason why they found out about this is because in some childish attempt at covering up their tracks, or maybe it was just an indifference to the whole process. You know, they started dumping records out, and they threw them in the dumpster, and people got wind of what was going on, and actually it was the BBC who broke the story. So the ultimate irony is that news agencies in Britain, you know, broke a story about testing toxic, deadly drugs, drugs that were actually killing children, making them blind, testing these drugs on children in foster care. And it was the pharmaceutical companies, the health and hospital corporation, the major charities, all of these people were in cahoots to do this experiment on children. And this is New York City. So if they were doing this with impunity, with government sanction in New York City, you can only imagine the level of misconduct that was going on in countries that don't care about their people at all, you know, developing nations, what we used to refer to as third world nations. You can just imagine what they were doing to them.
Well, I want to thank the Bioethics Commission for approving the anthrax vaccine for testing on children. Because they have done that, everybody has woken up to the fact that they can put anything they want in the vaccine. If they just approved anthrax to test on children, and I say the test is, will it take 1 or 3 seconds for the child to die? That's the test.
Right.
So, I mean, they get so bad, they get so callous and cavalier that they can get away with anything, that they push it just over the top. And that's what they've done with the anthrax vaccine. Thank you so much, Bioethics Commission and Health and Human Services. So, what won't they do? And it's all, of course, if it doesn't kill you now, it'll kill you later. It'll abbreviate your life. It will make you live a life of great suffering if you do continue to live. So I am so with you on that. It's unspeakable what they're doing to children. Okay, so we have covered quite a few very important topics here. Is there another topic that is dear to your heart?
Let's see. We covered prison industrial complex. We covered Haiti.
Covered what they're doing with experimentation on foster children. These are very big and important issues.
Certainly, the educational system in general, as well as the issue of housing, the affordability of housing is very important. We've talked about things that that kill you quickly, but I have not even we have not even addressed the issues of those things that just slowly break you down as a human being, like not being able to find housing, you know. About not being able to even have the hope of getting an education or employment that will allow you to feed yourself, much less your loved ones. We can in 2008 we came this close to a complete global meltdown of the economy. And it was caused by a total indifference, a corporate indifference, a Wall Street indifference to human beings, a money first attitude, a money only attitude, a me, superficial, spoiled, petulant, shallow philosophy of the dissemination of funds that brought the entire globe this close to a complete meltdown. I'm not talking about a depression or recession. I'm talking about a meltdown, a total meltdown. And when you look at the way that government is just in cahoots with corporations, in cahoots to the degree where you can't even sue DuPont for actually destroying the whole food system of the United States in cahoots where it is almost impossible for any normal human being who is not rich or is not in place in New York City, at the very least, with some sort of subsidy to get any kind of housing anywhere in New York. I don't know where they're going to put people in the United States anymore because every place they bus them becomes problematic as soon as they start to rebuild those communities. The job market is null and void. Obamacare was initially going to be a godsend, and if they had gone with single payer, it might have had a greater chance of success. But what they have ultimately done is used this little buzzword of socialism, and they have given control basically to the insurance companies. So they have, they have given the souls of your children and your grandparents to the devil himself. The insurance companies, as a matter of fact, it was the insurance company that basically is responsible for the meltdown. It wasn't just the banking and the rating agencies in cahoots. It was basically the fact that one insurance company, AIG, insured every single bad debt all over the planet and had no money. They spent all the money. It was the insurance companies who basically took money from everybody in New Orleans for decades, saying that they had insurance for their houses, insurance for their properties. And when Katrina hit, they didn't have a dime. They didn't give anybody anything, And now we give over our health care system to the insurance companies. We give over the future of our housing to the real estate companies. It's just pure madness. It's just pure madness. I'm not even sure what vision they have. Maybe they're just trying to get all the money they can before everybody dies. I don't even know what the plan is anymore.
Well, I'll tell you something that ties into the housing issue. When I used to produce comedy shows, I did them in hospitals and homeless shelters, but the homeless shelters, people were there who had money, who could pay their rent, but the landlords would get a marshal to slap a lock on their door. And so, it's not for lack of payment, but perhaps they wanted a new tenant with a higher rent.
Right.
And what I'm thinking is, I'll just take one woman. This is a story that repeated itself often, so this is not an anomaly. I met her in the homeless shelter. I have found a training program to fix Westinghouse products, a training program, and I said, they'll take people who are middle-aged and older. If you're interested, please sign up. Well, this woman wanted to sign up, but they couldn't reach her because she was in a homeless shelter. She didn't have her own phone, and she missed the opportunity. But I interviewed her, and she was saying that she was there for that reason. Marshall had slapped a lock on her mother and her door. Her mother was in a hospital for 3 years, so the state was paying for her mother to live, and her mother was not ill, in a hospital for 3 years. She was in a homeless shelter. They assigned a guardian for her money, so she couldn't access it, and she couldn't get out of the homeless shelter. And so there they were, one in a hospital that the state was paying through the nose for, another in a homeless shelter. And I know other people have lost their apartments because they just needed a little help. So instead of giving a few hundred dollars a month to the person who needed a little help, they are now paying through the nose for an apartment, and it's coming from the taxpayers' dollars.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And the cost of this apartment, I can't remember, astronomical what we were paying for, when all they needed was a few hundred dollars to make it over the top.
Right.
So I have to tell you about this. This is very important. I brought this problem to Rosie Mendez, who's a councilwoman.
Yeah,
and
I know Rosie.
And I said, well, you know, people are getting evicted from their homes, and there's no rhyme or reason for many of them who are in the homeless shelters. And she wrote a bill, it was Intro 640, which would provide you, like, when you get a court, a lawyer assigned to you if you have been charged with a crime, this way you would get a lawyer assigned to you if you were about to lose your house or your apartment.
Right.
And I thought, this is a fantastic, you know, thing she has done, but it never made it to the floor. And I really was so sorry to hear that, because so many people could have benefited from that, and they might not have been on the streets, you know?
Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. One of the problems was that the speaker of the council at that time was Christine Quinn. And Christine Quinn evolved into this person who is just so embedded with the mayor of New York City, Mike Bloomberg, that anything that is even remotely challenge the rent structure, the rent plan, the real estate plan of New York City, the corporate real estate plan of New York City, was not going to get much attention. At best, it was going to be some sort of licking around the edges of the jar type thing, but it was never going to take hold on any substantial level. In point of fact, the corporate plan of New York City has been so pernicious that we are really in a bind. And we talk about things. Sometimes we get so focused on what is happening that we don't see what's coming down the pipe. And we have been very, very focused on this thing that we refer to as gentrification. But gentrification is a stopgap measure, because ultimately, even though gentrification meant that other groups of people who had more money than the people who were in the community originally and therefore could price them out of the market, what it did not address was the fact that inevitably, those people who gentrified the community would also be priced out of the market. If you look at what is known as the East Village now, is going beyond gentrification, because it is becoming a college village. And what that allows landlords to do is rent to college kids, especially since we have NYU in the East Village. So you have doctors and lawyers and masters of the university. And they're not coming here with kids to raise, and they're not coming here looking for housing. They're coming to stay a semester or two, up the real estate cost, stay in a room, pay thousands and thousands of dollars. So now you see any little tenement, any little two-room tenement, building goes for like $3,000-$4,000 a whop, and it just keeps growing because you can get them in and get them out. And people who actually rent tend to stay a while, and it's harder to continually raise the price of real estate. So you have this insidious, rapacious cancer that is the real estate market in the United States, that seems to know no boundaries anymore. You know, at least gentrification had some sort of boundaries. What's happening with New York with tourism and becoming this college structured real estate scam thing is frightening. So it's all about magic money. It's not even about real money and the cost of real things. It's about what you can get when you can get it, as often as you can get it. And that's why it ends up not based upon what is necessary to run something, but what you can get.
Well, Letitia James fought against eminent domain against Columbia University. And eminent mm-hmm. domain, as you know, the definition has changed from basically benefiting the whole in terms of the military needing space or something of that nature to if
right.
you can get more taxes for it,
right.
it will be benefiting the whole. So
right.
she fought against that. I'm glad she's the public advocate. And so perhaps she will represent in regard to these issues. I really hope, I have hope there. I don't know if I'm ever wrong to have hope in any politician, but she, I know, has stood against it. But this whole thing with the nonprofitness of universities and nonprofitness of hospitals, who makes more money than universities and hospitals? How else could they be expanding at this exponential rate?
Nobody makes more money than universities and hospitals. Yeah, no. Everything trades on the stock market.
People who don't pay their taxes. If you don't pay taxes, it's
right.
win-win-win.
Right. Exactly. You know, but everything trades on the market, and everything is, you know, I mean, they used to, you know, you used to refer to this thing as a fiduciary responsibility, but now I think everybody is fair game now. I think, you know, hospital services is just another stock market scam. Housing is just another stock market scam. Food is another stock market scam. You know, literally everything trades on the market. You know, you talk about your favorite issue, vaccines, but medicine. You know, pharmaceutical companies who produce pills and panaceas and, you know, and I mean, they need to produce these things almost every 6 months to drive their stock up. And there is no way a doctor knows whether this crap is good or bad. But they get so many perks from the pharmaceutical companies in terms of money and vacations and free this and free that, literally thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Did they prescribe stuff to people? They don't know what it does. How the heck can a doctor know what a pill does if he didn't make the pill and he wasn't in the lab?
You know, that's true, but in the case of vaccines, we've uncovered, you know, there's a list of known fillers that is called a physician's warranty of vaccine safety that you would present to a doctor and say, here's what's in it. Sign that you will take responsibility for having injected this into my child. Because you know that they're not liable. You know that the UNICEF, who's inoculating people all over the world, they're not liable. And there was a suit
right.
in Haiti recently against the UN for bringing cholera. I'm not sure where, which country, but they said it came from the UN workers. Well, of course, it came from the vaccines, but they said you can't sue us. Even if, no matter who, you know, so all these people
yeah.
are not liable,
yeah.
they don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, how
yeah.
much more can we do for them?
Right. They know it. But when the money rolls in, you rearrange your logic. What do they call it? Dissonance, cognitive. You know, when the money is coming in, you just like find ways to make your logic fit the money that's coming in. They know. You don't even need a big study to know that you don't know what's happening and that you're destroying people's lives. But, you know, I mean, when you're in that Lamborghini.
Nat Wood,
yes.
We have 1 minute left, Nat Wood. Would you like to say something in closing?
I just appreciate the fact that you had me on, that you let me take up so much of your busy schedule. You are indeed a warrior in the fight for peace.